one day long. God is still here with you, second time here. Most people have it a little long way away, and we're starting one time for one first time. So then, I'm bearing in and out of the kingdom, and lovely to come and just get some thoughts with you this morning, look forward to that. And just focus around one Bible verse, you've got a big thought. If you've got a Bible, I'm going to focus around. I know all the Bible's important, and every part of the Bible's important, but I don't think there are one thing in the Bible that really do need to save our lives. All of the Bible needs to save our lives, but when you have a Bible written for that and you read it, sometimes you get halfway through it, how much is that written by life? But there is a Bible verse that I think is a key verse which shapes all of our lives every single day. And the verse is Matthew 6:33, where Jesus says the word, "This verse is the kingdom of God." But I just want to say how lovely it was in the February beginning of March to see some of you on the Chelsea Pioneer entering this conference this year and welcome people applying to Hazel and Pioneer. That was a real thrill for me to be part of praying over you and to be part of that time together with over 400 other leaders from the land of Pioneer. And that's really exciting that you are, and you know, you are now officially part of Pioneer East and the Pioneer Network. It's the newest region in Pioneer. I have the privilege of living in Pioneer East, and there are three main churches in the region at the moment. There's yourself here at Hatfield, and then there's East up in the right back area in North Norfolk. And then there is us in National Church, which is a small group of people that are meeting in Wyndham. They've had a bit of a challenge on their Sunday gathering, but still meeting in this week. So we'd like them to come. And then there's another church at this moment in time. They're doing all the paperwork and are halfway to glorifying here. So I think next year, at the conference, we'll be welcoming to a little church in the street. Led by a young couple from Jenkins and Seth, and they've got a lot of things for them. They've mostly got a heart for a housing estate, and they're doing a really great job. And they're connecting with the people on their own, and I'm linking them to them next month, and I'm getting a decision to try as well. So that's really good. And just for this last week, I have a little bit coming from a church in Norwich. It's one of the students, and they're just looking to see more what possible might look like for them. So it's really exciting and really good to see them. So we've formed a little regional team as well. I can't do that all myself, but I'm also leading the church as well. And so on the whole, there's a small team that's going to give us a region, it's myself, and the Emperor Terry and the Paul for him. So we've already had our first team, so we're just looking at how we can develop connections and relationships with the students planning in here. So thank you for that. I feel appreciated that often when we're part of a network, a lot of the focus can be around leadership, but we really do want to encourage and encourage and build strength in this region. So we're quite spread out. Obviously, we're in East Anglia, very rural, which I love. I mean, from the time away over this morning, we see different people across the world, fields everywhere, and we start to get this. But often traveling can always be more of a challenge if you're getting time and also a better people getting ready. So that's cool. One of my other roles time here is that I've just taken on, I love part of the day to learn this morning about prayer. I'm really want to encourage you in prayer. I know we all know that prayer is important, but prayer is what makes the church come together. And I don't know what prayer is like in this church, but when one of your leaders encourages us to come and pray, come and pray. So in my role, as a whole of the network across the UK and Pioneer, I've taken on the Pioneer Prayer list, something that we've been talking about. So I'm sort of kept silent actually, so I'm going to be listening to poetry. Formal church in China is a sort of square and right up there on the play bar, because I think it's so stressful. So, yeah, so exciting. When I was about 7 years old, my dad bought me a tableton table. I grew up on a farm, and he took a tableton table into one of the buildings on the farm, gave me my first bat, and I just started to love tableton. And I've always loved sport, and I've always played a lot of sport throughout my life. Table tennis became my favourite sport, and table tennis became the sport that I've done the best at from all the sports that I enjoyed. And so much so that I ended up becoming a fancy player in table tennis in my mid-teens, like 10 years. My dad used to take me to drive me from Beach to Brandon, as far as I drive. And I used to be coached by the Suffolk County coach, but it's not him. And I remember when I used to go over there, he used to get me to practice and practice and practice the same thing all the time. And I remember he used to get a piece of chalk and he used to draw a little sort of semicircle on the corner of the table, both sides. Right, and so it's about, I guess, the size of a large mug. You just draw a little semicircle on the corner of the left hand side where I was, and the right hand side where the table was. You kick it out, and I had to strike so hard that every time I hit the ball back hand or front hand, I had to get the ball in that corner every single time. I didn't hit the ball on the other side, wasn't good enough. I had to get the ball in that corner. So I practiced and practiced and practiced it so hard that in the end, pretty much every shot I played, I could get the ball in that little corner. And I kind of switched with it. And the whole thing about it was, I wanted to be the first in my team to consistently be able to hit the ball in the corner of the table until I managed to do it. There is something inherent in many of us that whatever hobby we have, or whatever sport we might play, or whatever career choice we might make, there's something about in most human beings to want to excel, to want to do well. And often, if you're in something that's sort of competitive nature, you want to be first. And I know the Bible says, you know, the last to be first and the first to be last, and I get all of that. But there is something that I think is really important to want to be first. But being first in what is the important thing? And so when we read that verse in Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, there's nothing wrong by wanting first, but wanting first in what is the important thing. And so Jesus, I don't know, I'm a bit late in the game, my wife and I have just watched the three series on the Chosen. We've never watched it before, but I've loads of my friends and speaking friends, you must watch the Chosen, you must watch the Chosen. And we're really late in the game, and in the last like couple of months of our life, we've watched the three series of Channel 4 points coming out in America. And one of the things I loved about watching the Chosen was just how naturally beautiful Jesus is for people. I kind of imagine how Jesus would be if he was around our community today. He's just incredible. And when you come to that part of the Chosen where he literally gets the disciple Matthew to one side and they go off into this mountain and Matthew describes everything that Jesus wants to teach the crowd. And then they're gathering this huge vast, like, outdoor field. There's tons of thousands of people, like, gathering this field. And Matthew, those weeks leading up to that moment in the Chosen, he sits with Jesus and he actually describes what Jesus is wanting to share with the people. Of course, that is the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in Matthew's Gospel. And if you watch the Chosen, that's a pretty important for everyone now, I don't know if you've got to watch it. If you've watched the Chosen, the Sermon on the Mount has a huge impact on Matthew and the person, obviously coming from working for the Romans to the tax collector, then finding a different way of life and becoming immersed and saturated in the kingdom. And right at the end of chapter 6, he talks about so many things up until that point.
And then he finishes chapter 6 by saying to his followers, don't worry about tomorrow, you know, don't worry about what you will wear, how God clothes, what, you know, and feeds the birds and clothes the lilies and all that kind of stuff. And then right at the end of chapter 6, he kind of hits them with this incredible verse, but seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added to you. I personally think that in our Christian lives, it's all about the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. Let him get on his church. Let him get on to his church. Jesus is very, very good at building his church. He's way better than I could ever do that. But what he says to every Christian is, within the context of life, if you want to be most fruitful, if you want to have the greatest impact in your life, the thing that you need to do is seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. In other words, seeking God's kingdom is God's priority for us. God has given that from us. It's there for us to see and it's plainly obvious. Because seeking God's kingdom is His priority. It's not something we need to pray about. It's not something we need to think about. It's something that He is asking us to do. And one of the things that Michelle and I, Michelle's my wife, we've tried to do over the years throughout our married life, is to constantly come back again and again. How is the kingdom of God impacting our everyday life? How is the kingdom of God impacting my time? How is the kingdom of God impacting my energy? How is the kingdom of God impacting what I focus on? How is the kingdom of God impacting my finance and my resources? How is the kingdom of God impacting my home, what I do with my house? Jesus is very clear with his disciples. There is no room for misunderstanding. He doesn't say, well, I think there is my kingdom and I think you need to give a measure of your time to it. Or my kingdom is here and I want you to, you know, partake in it kind of loosely. No, Jesus is saying, look, if you want to be my follower, if you want to really be my disciple, seeking first my kingdom is what you must do, and is how you must do. My priority for you is this, seek first my kingdom. And of course, if you go back in Matthew, and in fact, if you go back in all the Gospels, but especially in the Gospel of Matthew, where the kingdom of God, that phrase is mentioned time and time again, even in Matthew 4, verse 17, when Jesus was starting his ministry, what did he say? From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, those two phrases are interchangeable into the New Testament. The kingdom of heaven has come here. In other words, Jesus comes not just with a message of repentance, but with a message of the kingdom. That when Jesus came from heaven to earth, he brings the kingdom of heaven to earth. He brings the nature of the kingdom of heaven to everyday people, as he did for 33 years on earth. Jesus' whole message for mankind was the kingdom of God. And I believe today, more than ever before, the world needs a church that is seeking God's kingdom. The world needs a church and community across the whole of the world where the kingdom of God is being sought for. Because I tell you, when we get a hold of that, it will change our lives. It will change everything about our lives. It will change our concepts. It will change our vision. It will change our focus. It will change the way we live every day of our lives. And the good news about this is, you can be into the kingdom from day one. You don't have to be a Christian 20 years before the kingdom of God can start affecting your life. From day one, from the moment you become a Christian, you can start to seek God's kingdom first. And it is just for mature, well-seasoned Christians who are like, you know, mature in years, for the young, for the middle-aged, for the elderly, for those of whatever class or background you come from, whatever educational status you have. The kingdom of God is there for us to seek. The kingdom of God is there for us to see. It is so, so exciting. And so here is my point, and I've got two or three points in a moment. When we know our priorities, that's when we know where to put our energy. our talents, and our time, and our money. When we know what our priorities, that's when we can put everything into. I had a friend when I was growing up, and he was really into freshwater fishing, and he did it today. And when I was a young guy, I was patient to sit and fish all day long. And we would, where I live in Norfolk, we had some lakes on the top. And you could have your season to fish, and you could get fish those lakes. Or on some occasions, we would go to all the lakes. You could get them in there to go. And sometimes, we didn't have the best fishing gear. On fishing gear, and we spent hour after hour fishing. Why is that? It's a priority. And when something becomes your priority, that's what you put your time into. Coming back to my table tennis analogy, that is my priority. I'm not going to put energy in it for hours and hours every week. So when we know our priorities, then we know where we can put our energy. Then we know we will put our time and our talents. When we know what to do, then we know that we're not wasting our time. And so I want to share three things this morning. I'm going to be really quick, okay? Well, this is time, of course. I haven't got a PowerPoint, so you're writing notes. It's recorded. It's recorded yesterday, yes. So I'm okay. Number one. Seeking his kingdom is more important than seeking my provision. Seeking his kingdom is more important than seeking my provision. When we pursue what we need, I think we will make the service of his kingdom. When we pursue what we need, we will miss the blessing of his kingdom. But when we seek his kingdom first, God will provide us. What did Jesus say? Seek first my kingdom, and everything else will be added to you. Seek first my kingdom. When we seek first his kingdom, it has to be more important than seeking our provision. When the pursuit of God's kingdom is the passion of my life, when the kingdom of God consumes me, then everything else I need will find its way into my life. We need, as Christians, are orientated towards the kingdom. The kingdom of God is the thing that we need to center our desires around. The kingdom of God is the thing that needs to affect our emotions, our thinking, our talents, absolutely everything. We have to be in the thing. And when we think God's kingdom over our provision, then God will act as we can help in us. My father-in-law, who's not alive anymore, lives like this. I'm a sister then, he was my mentor for the first time. I saw in his life a man that consistently and constantly. In fact, his favourite message in the Bible was the kingdom of God. He was always talking about the kingdom of God.
Jesus expected him to ask. Everything that he did was focused on the kingdom. He did everything right, but he did everything right. He lived with the kingdom there all of the time. I watched him with his car away, but he was still a painter. The kingdom of the father of love. I watched him come to me. So I don't give any examples, but I've watched him. He never had a lot of money, but I've watched him on numerous occasions. He emptied his wallet of all the parties he had come on his own. I watched him on more than numerous occasions when you go out for a meal and you're going to pay for your part of the meal that you've already been paid for, that you pay for it. He was confused with the kingdom of God must become my number one desire in life. The kingdom of God must become the thing that I am. And I want to ask you a question, but you can answer it out loud. But here's my question, and it's one of my thoughts. Can you think of anything more important than the kingdom of God? Can you think of anything more important than the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is even more important than the kingdom of God. That is pretty important. The kingdom of God trumps everything in my life. Can you think of anything more important than the kingdom of God? The reason that I ask that question is because we all have an empty life to do something. And what we do and what we aim for is what we will center our life around and our energy and everything that we want to do in life. Because we are, I just don't like this, but we are all aiming forward. We look at something and we want to move towards it. I looked at the table tennis and I wanted to move towards hitting that ball in the corner. My friend looked at something and he wanted to move towards just being consumed by his hobby. We are all aiming forward. We all love to do something. And do you know what? What's the danger? For most of us, we would say, living a life of is wrong. Of course we would say that. And I bet if we went around the room this morning and we talked about the obvious things, we'd come up with a list and we could put them up on the screen behind you, or we could put them up on Flipchart by finding them. And we could all come up with things. But you know what? Considering things that are more important for the kingdom of God, in my opinion, creates self-centered life. And that is simple. And that is really challenging. I've seen people who have become consumed with doing their house job. And they don't come to church for weeks on end, and they don't come to church for months, and that's all their energy and all their time. And then you could ask yourself, well, is it wrong to do a house job? Of course it's not. But if it consumes you more than the kingdom, it is wrong. And lots of great things in our lives, but if it consumes us more than the kingdom, then it's wrong. And Jesus, in the kind of book, he said, put my kingdom first. Now, in the last 2 years, when I was married, we did a tremendous, crazy decision. 10 months after we got married, my wife was single in her. I'm not a lot of money. And I was working as a garden centre, I'm not a lot of money. But we were surviving, we got a mortgage, interest rates were 6% at the time, and then we used to let every 7 years that mortgage to my home, and we had the money to make it. We got married in 1996, got our first house, and we were promised to write 40% of the mortgage to do this. So we managed. And we've been married just a few months. And I decided with my brother to go and do a year out for Jesus. And it was really, 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 really difficult. But in that time of seeking God's kingdom for our lives, a young married couple, the age of 20 and 21, we just thought God was on our time and time again. And we've all heard stories like this, but we did for Jesus to believe. We didn't put our door and we had groceries and that's what I
domestic proclaimers will say, don't be hard, children, resist against its experience. What is it like as we thought this God's freedom for us? God would be more than capable of providing for us. The seeking God's kingdom is more important than seeking God's kingdom. Now, fast forward 37 years, and Michelle and I are in this position now where God has blessed us with more resources and more money than we ever had in our lives. My father died 2 years ago, and my sister and I inherited a farm. All of a sudden, we're not just our family, but we're receiving substantial income from a farm every single month. So here's a big differentiation. Let's move from our 4-bedroom house to a 5-bedroom house. Here's a big differentiation. Let's get rid of our 7-year-old Ford Cougar and buy a brand new SUV Audi. I have to do both like that. But this thing is really, really upsetting our spirit. This one we were 26 in place of spirit, well, 20 have nothing. How much more important it is to form God's kingdom first when we've got money. So this is what we decided to do. Yes, we've got 40 and then probably another. We've got more to win now. We've got much more to do. Why is that? Because when we do, I'm not sure they do, we'll have incredible impact on our community. Because it's about the future of the kingdom. It will affect how we conduct ourselves in our workplaces, in fact, it will affect how we conduct ourselves when our neighbors say something that we don't think is right, the way we respond to this kingdom response. Let's acknowledge that this God's kingdom is for his provision, because God is very good. I just want to say something about the kingdom becoming everything, because this is what happens, right? When we become consumed with our provision, we will shift away from what we do in life, and shift will take place. We'll become more consumed about what we need, and what we want, and what we can do to help. And I'm sad to see real Christians shift towards their provision rather than towards the kingdom. And some of them are actually not walking with Jesus anymore, because they can't get to the place of God. I want to really encourage everybody, don't let that shift happen in your life, but keep looking towards the kingdom. That is really, really important. Seeking God's kingdom first increases our capacity. Seeking God's kingdom first increases our capacity. What are all these things that Jesus is talking about? When he says, seek first my kingdom and everything else will be added to you, what are all of those things? What are all of those things? All the things that most people in our world don't want to. Seek of resources, seek of success, seek of money, seek of the things that most of the people that really want to do didn't make their minds to. The seek of the car, the seek of the possession of my house, the seek of the desire, the seek of my furniture. And you know what? When we pursue My pattern to and find that he is an enemy to my kingdom, or he can free me from my trouble. It's all about how we respond. I guess if we have time to that ending, but to do it in this culture, it wouldn't be long before we discover that most of us have thought we died in our lives. Maybe illness, maybe divorce, maybe brokenness, we've all got time to have one. We've all got to defend it to our partners. But thinking God's kingdom is more important than our past time of disappointment. Don't allow your past to become your prison, but allow your past bring you into your focus. Part of the pain of my past is my wife and I did not have our own children. And so when we left the last year, every woman that came got pregnant. I felt we were in pain for everywhere in our church and we could have our own children. But it was a painful time. Great schools were protected. I didn't understand that at the time, and my wife felt the pain of that woman I was being the mother of a potential mother. Until we adopted a 12-week-old baby boy, God's great today. And now I've got a story. Now I've got a story in my past on the disappointment that I've been telling others, and as part of the stuff is something else. It's always a place to be. You see, I believe that our past pain and our past disappointment can release us to the future, or it can cause us to the future. And I want to ask you this morning, have you allowed your past and your pain and your disappointment you are, or at least we position it. As far as that is, God wants the kingdom in you to start your past point as your past end. And if we learn to foster ourselves, gratitude in God's kingdom first, something takes place that will remove you and me into something new. I want to die just thinking God's kingdom. In some ways, being on this to our church leader, in some ways, I'm not bothered about it today. Because we get really disciplined as we get better at the same as our family grows close. I reckon every person, including the leaders, of river of life, the river. God has decided on the kingdom. God has been expected. Exponentially, the river of life can be when we get fixed on the kingdom, God has a way to find the river of life in the river. Focus on the kingdom. This is something the church last year, whatever good for us, we can take these places. It is for our actions. We don't have money for it. But for many people, we invested their money. And we spent them for the money of our tax on this. And we just for our thoughts and the simple thought of it. And it's going to be done. The last few months, every single Sunday, we
Thank you.